What does it mean to be employed in the gig economy? A new European law tries to answer that question. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Amy Scott, in for Molly Wood. This week, the European Parliament passed a law establishing basic rights for workers in the gig economy. It could apply to some 3 million people, from Uber drivers to couriers for the UK's Deliveroo. The law requires companies to pay when work is canceled last minute or for mandatory training. It also bans exclusivity clauses, which prevent freelancers from gigging for other companies. It's supposed to make working short-term gigs a little more stable. Joe Miller is a business and tech reporter with the BBC who's been following this law.
It was mainly targeted at the Ubers of this world and things like TaskRabbit, essentially app-based services that supply on-demand services such as transport or delivery. But in reality, the legislation encompasses a far broader section of the economy. People who clean offices, it includes people who work for parcel delivery companies. So the legislation could apply to a far, far broader sector than just those big tech firms that we've all come to know.
Why are these changes needed? What kinds of abuses were workers talking about that this law is trying to address?
Yeah, so the range of abuses is really quite massive, from people who are being booked for work and then never being given that work, you know, just being left in the lurch with no work and no pay, to people who have worked hundreds of days a year without any holiday pay, people not being offered any compensation when they're sick, despite working for the same company essentially for many, many months or weeks. So there's been an awful lot of activism around this and an awful lot of legal challenges around this, with people coming forward with all sorts of employment concerns.
These member states have up to 3 years to begin to enforce this. That seems like a long time with a lot of room for maneuvering.
It is a long time, but critics would also point out that this only applies to people who are employed. Now, they're tightening up the definition of who's employed. They're saying if you work 3 hours a week for a company, then that is considered employment. But of course, the big battlefield between the likes of Uber and Lyft and Deliveroo around the world and various authorities has been they've always claimed that they are just the facilitator between a customer and a self-employed contractor. Now, that is not covered by this legislation, because this legislation narrowly only applies to people who are employed, and you can expect there to be many, many challenges on the definition of who is employed. This doesn't really solve anything in the immediate future. It's just a blueprint of how things may look.
The BBC's Joe Miller. What could this European law mean for American workers? Well, Miller says think about what happened with the GDPR, the European privacy regulation that took effect last year. It led a lot of tech companies to change their practices here, too. And now for some related links. Here in the U.S., the rise of the gig economy may be distorting some economic data. Over at Axios, frequent marketplace guest Dion Rabowan wrote about a new paper from the Dallas Fed. It says the headline unemployment rate, now at 3.8%, may lowball the number of gig workers who are unemployed or underemployed. Because contract workers aren't on the payroll, they aren't counted as unemployed, even when they're not working. We've got links to Dion's piece and the Dallas Fed paper at marketplacetech.org. Also, while you're there, check out another story from the Ithaca Times. Cornell University surveyed New Yorkers who use platforms like Uber, Postmates, and Grubhub to make a living. Among the 270 people surveyed, only 13% said they could get by working for those apps alone. Many relied on public assistance and juggled several apps at once to make ends meet. Matt Purdy produced this week's Marketplace Tech, along with Stephanie Hughes. Eve Troe is our senior producer. Dan Powell is our engineer. I'm Amy Scott, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.